Well, let me start by asking both of you, what went through your mind when you first heard that this mother took her three-year-old to work because she didn't have childcare that day?
Well, you know, it's not a surprise. I think one of the things is that we here have seen and heard all kinds of stories, and knowing the stress, knowing the immediate response that's often needed for childcare, knowing that families, young and sometimes even grandparents, are in a moment of distress and have to make choices, tough choices, obviously sometimes dangerous choices, I'm not surprised. Of course, the first thing I wanted to do was to wind back the clock 48 hours and say, we got your back, we'll come pick up your child. And of course, one of the most ironic things for us, without ever blaming or shaming anybody, is Owen's House, our newest nursery, is less than a mile down the street. And, you know, we know that we could have. Now, we don't go there in terms of bad choices or this. More, our hearts break because we know how difficult it is in that moment to make a choice between a job and childcare, between making sure that you have what you need to provide, which means revenue from a job, and then save childcare. We don't know the story. I don't know what would have been her childcare options. But it is hard for us to not just feel heartbroken when someone makes a choice because they have to. These are desperate times for our young families. Minimum wage jobs, part-time jobs, jobs that don't have a lot of paid time off if you call in sick. We know the situation for our young mothers and maybe even older grandmothers, grandparents, who find themselves in that moment.
Faith, I want to ask you, in terms of the crisis nursery, which handles childcare in a lot of different situations that come up for families, how often do you see cases where someone will call and say, my childcare just fell through for the day, I've got to go to work, I'm going to lose my job if I don't show up, can you take the kids for my shift?
That isn't often something that occurs at the crisis nursery, and I wanted to kind of follow up with what Elaine said, is that we have to assume that this mom was doing the absolute best that she could, and losing a job could mean losing your home and losing the stability for your child. So I just wanted to kind of say that. But the crisis nursery often hears from parents who their employer maybe isn't generous with benefits or time off, and if they do call in one more time, then they're going to lose their job. And I wish that everyone knew about the crisis nursery services so that they at least knew that they had another option to be able to call. But that is absolutely a reason that the crisis nursery takes in youth.
Give us an idea of what your capacity is on any given day. It may be hard to generalize. You have two crisis nurseries. How many children can you care for at any given time?
At each nursery, we're allowed to take in six children at a time. Some of those youth will come in for a couple hours because their parent had a medical appointment or a mental health appointment or something like that, and then that space is freed up. But at each different location, we can accept six children at a time. Sometimes that looks like a dozen different children a day. If we have children spending the night at the nurseries or our mom works an evening shift or something like that, the kids kind of come and go, and we do our best to schedule to get as many children as we can.
And I understand your argument about women and even dads who are underemployed, who don't make enough money to afford childcare. It's a problem even for people, I think, in the middle class would say that the costs are exorbitant. But what can be done about that?
So, you know, one of the things that we've been focusing on a lot, obviously, the last week is this tragedy and in the moment what could have happened. We want to have the conversation be a little bit bigger and broader, because the truth is that even if we had helped this young woman for a day or two, the question is, does she have accessible childcare? Is it affordable to her? Is it fluid? Is it easy? What about people who have shifts that go into the evening? Who's helping with that? So the gap in childcare, the gap in services and the gap in funding and availability is a much larger conversation that we have to take a look at. There are ways we have to be able to say this is something we're willing to spend some county dollars on and even private money on, and we have to find ways to provide those access points. Maybe employers have to say, you know, I'm going to have to give you an extra hour or two for transporting back and forth. Maybe it's part of the compensation. Nobody is really looking at the underlying elements of why these things happen. We are an emergency response, and boy, we're so happy to be there. I met somebody from Idaho who was here, and someone told her about the nursery, and she said, I can't imagine a community any more supportive and wonderful than Rochester. Well, that's true, but we are just that emergency response. We're not the long-term answer. There has to be a bigger, wider conversation about pay equity, about more full-time jobs, about who is underemployed. Even when you're employed, can you afford good, safe childcare?
And even those who do have access to resources, they can be in a bind sometimes too. Don't you see parents who are just overwhelmed psychologically, emotionally?
Right, absolutely. And providing respite care for folks who call and just are overwhelmed and don't have supports, or maybe just ashamed to ask their supports, to be able to say, I'm not sure that I can do this, or I really need a break, which is a really normal feeling for a parent to have. But when you don't have the support, which many of our families lack, it becomes really difficult. So we get several phone calls around that, and a lot of what our parents truly need is just a good night's sleep so that they can just recuperate a little bit and get some rest. We had a mom call, and she just really needed a good meal and a shower and a nap. And she came back 5 hours later for her children like a whole new woman and didn't feel ashamed to ask for that support. And that's what she verbalized to us, that she had a support system. She had some family, some friends, and a really strong like church and religious support, but that she was ashamed to tell them she was feeling that way. So our agency and our program was able to just kind of jump in and take the kids to give her what she needed without that shame, that non-judgmental feel.
Is that something a lot of mothers feel? Is that what our culture puts in the heads of mothers, that they have to be perfect?
As a mom, I would say, yeah, it's really hard to ask for help. It's hard to say, I don't have this right now, and I need help. So, absolutely. And shame on us, honestly, for doing that to each other. But I think that's a lot of parents' feelings, because we are our children's person, right? And we need to provide for them. And often we see that our parents are so great at taking care of the needs of their kids, but they will not take care of their own needs, whether that's sleep for themselves, whether that's medical attention or mental health treatment. They'll be great at getting their children to the doctor and making sure that they're up to date on the vaccinations and well child visits, but the last time they've seen their doctor had 4 years ago, you know, they really should be on medication for a mental health disorder, and they just can't make it to their appointments because they lack child care, they lack support. Good parents put their kids first, right? But our program is awesome in the sense that we're able to allow people to feel like they can get support for themselves so they can keep going for their kids.
And that is something you do for your kids, mm-hmm. Take care of yourself. You know, you're right. We don't know, and we won't presume to know anything about what led to this tragedy specifically. We don't know this mother's life. We don't even know her name at this point. But I can tell you she's getting a lot of judgment cast her way, a lot of shame on social media and elsewhere about having to take her child to work. Why do you think that is?
I don't think that she deserves that type of judgment. I think that people who haven't walked in someone else's shoes just really don't have the ability to understand. But we say a lot here that crisis doesn't discriminate, and whatever went on that made mom have to bring her 3-year-old child to work tells me that her employer maybe wasn't flexible with giving the day off, and that she was really concerned about losing her job or having to get that extra hour of pay, right, to be able to pay her rent or whatever was going on. Like, I think people don't necessarily look at the big picture and just are quick to judge.
If we had all the funding in the world and all the means and the resources to carry it out, what would that long-term solution look like to you in a perfect world?
So I immediately would add two more nurseries. I would, my dream, and we're not going to get there fast because they're very expensive, you can imagine, would be to have a crisis nursery in every quadrant of our city so that we could serve up to 25 or 30 kids, maybe even more a day, right? So that we really could be that place. Then we would be able to be the next step in terms of really helping to negotiate good, solid childcare, working through partnerships with the county and others to say, okay, we have this family. Can you help us make that connection? So we would be the great connectors. We would have people answering the phone on the other end saying, yes, we have a slot. It's a reduced amount, and here's where it is, and here's how she gets there, and here's a transportation waiver. RTS is going to give her a 30-day pass. I mean, everybody comes together. That's what it would take. Now, that's a huge, big dream, but truly, pay equity, access to transportation, access to good, solid care, that's what we need as a community. We are the first step. We're only the first step.
I would like to just add that really as a community looking at the gaps, and the crisis nursery does a great job at filling the gaps, but one gap we see very often is all the situations that we've already discussed with parents kind of, you know, fleeing another situation or maybe new to the state or the area and trying to get back on their feet. The county has a lot of great, like, childcare subsidies that people just don't necessarily know how to navigate. They're not sure how to figure out that system. So the crisis nursery has a family resource navigator that will help walk them through those systems, let them know what they're available for, call and make those phone connections to advocate for clients. But we still see that is a process that could take up to 6 to 8 weeks. So if mom starts a job, what is she to do for those 6 to 8 weeks? So that's a huge gap. The crisis nurseries aren't big enough to help to fill all of that gap for our community in need of childcare in those situations. So what does mom do with the child during that time period is the question. And so I would really like to see the county look at that and our communities look at that to see what we could do to fill that, because it's a bigger gap than what the crisis nurseries could be able to fill.
Mm-hmm. Does our community have an appetite for this discussion, Elaine?
Well, you know, often we have these stories, the family at Eastview Mall, or the mom who left her son in the car, or this one, which is the worst because it results in a death. The conversation is very vibrant right now, but it will go away, and people will forget. It will not go away for us. We are determined, we are fierce, and we are going to keep at it. But you're right, the conversation will get quiet, and people will forget. And we can't let that happen.
Faith, how do people get in touch with a crisis nursery?
If you are looking to volunteer, you can call the Center for Youth main number, which is 473-2464. If you're looking for emergency child care, you can directly call 235-5750, or Owens House Crisis Nursery, which can be found on the east side of the city, is 482-2561.
And you're there 24/7?
Someone will answer that phone 24/7. We never close.
Thank you both.
Thank you, Beth. Thank you so much.